Welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'm the founder and CEO of Mara Poling, and I'm happy to be with you this week as we do an update on interest rates. Federal funds rate, SOFR, the 10-year treasury. We've talked about them before, and some of those may be new to you if you are newer to multifamily real estate investing. So we're going to talk about each of those a little bit, where they are today, what the forecast is over the next short period of time and longer term, and what all that means for us multifamily real estate investors. So thanks for joining me. I would remind you, if you have any questions, please shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com. Don't forget to swing by the Learning Center at marapoling.com. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, the 26th of March, or Wednesday, the 27th, you still have time to register for our webinar on Thursday on retirement account investing. If you are listening after that, well, thank you for being a listener. But you can go to the Learning Center, the Multifamily Real Estate Channel, and you'll be able to watch a recording that we'll post in about a week or 10 days. And if you would like copies of the material, you can email me. If you are registered, you'll receive copies of those materials in advance of the session. Lots of other great webinars to register for as well. So please go check out the Learning Center. Okay, let's talk about interest rates. So there's a couple of interest rates that we care about. The one we pay the closest attention to for our investing modeling is the 10-year treasury. The 10-year treasury is the interest rate that most closely aligns with what we will experience in terms of the cost of money. So when we go borrow money in the marketplace, that 10-year treasury, if it's moving up, our interest rate is probably going to go up. If it's been moving down, our interest rates will probably be going down. And so that's the number that we're going to pay the most attention to. But that doesn't mean we don't keep an eye on the two short-term rates that we mentioned. So the 10-year treasury obviously is a long-term rate. That's what a treasury note is that you buy that's going to be redeemable in 10 years. Now, you can sell it along the way as interest rates move up and down. So there's some liquidity to those. But when the federal government decides, hey, we need to get some more cash on hand because we spend more than we take in, they sell treasuries of all sorts of denominations and time horizons, terms. The 10-year is the note that we pay the most attention to, as I said, because it tracks our notes. And the 10-year is currently sitting at, now this is last week's data, at 4.32%. Now that's down from where it's been recently, but up from where it was a little bit before that. And I'll talk about that in a moment. The other two interest rates that we do pay attention to, although they don't directly drive our interest costs, are the two short-term rates. One of those is the federal funds rate. So this is when you hear the Fed has met and they've made this decision on interest rates. They're going to leave rates alone, or they're going to raise them a quarter point, 25 basis points or 50, or they're going to lower them 25 basis points. That's this particular rate. Very closely aligned to that is another rate that's called the SOFR rate. Now, the SOFR rate stands for the Secured Overnight Financing Rate. SOFR is the replacement for LIBOR. LIBOR was the short-term rate that floating rate loans were connected to up until, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago when the transition to SOFR took place. So SOFR is important. if we have a floating rate loan. Now, we currently don't have any floating rate loans in our portfolio. We have had some, and we have either exited those properties over time or refinanced those loans. So while we're not exposed to that today, we're still interested in that rate and in the federal funds rate. Why would we be interested in short-term rates if the interest rate that most closely aligns with our cost of money is the 10-year treasury? Well, the reason for that is what those short-term rates actually do drive. So the Fed rate and SOFR, so Fed rate currently, and the Fed sets it as a range, is 5.25 to 5.5. They actually just had a meeting and decided to leave it unchanged. So that's where it is. And in about, I forget what it is, 6 or 7 weeks, they'll have another meeting, and they are forecasting that they're going to lower those. We'll talk about a forecast here in a moment. But it's at that 5.25 to 5.5. Where's SOFR right now? SOFR is 5.33, right smack dab in the middle of those two numbers in that range. So SOFR and the Fed funds rate are fairly close to each other. Why do we care about those? Well, those interest rates are the interest rates that are going to more closely align with the impact that consumers will experience in terms of the interest rates that they pay. So auto loans are often more closely associated with those rates. Consumer lending, signature loans, credit card interest rates, although I honestly don't know that I've ever seen credit card interest rates drop in any significant way when the Fed funds rate has dropped or SOFR has dropped. But you'll often hear credit cards mentioned as one of the rates that's tied to that. So why do we care about that? Well, we care about that because our customers, right, the people that buy our product, which are renters, right? So the renters that rent units from us have X amount of dollars to spend each month. And if they are paying more for certain items because interest rates have risen, then they have less money to spend on housing. And when it comes time for them to renew a lease or they're moving to a new town and they're looking for a place to live, they'll have less money to spend. And so they're going to be more focused on finding a more modestly priced place. And they'll likely be less driven by amenities, so some of the upscale add-ons that we like to have at our properties, than they will by just finding the best price. And by the way, that can happen even if that family has not been impacted by any movements in interest rates. Simply the fact that interest rates, if they're going up, are going up, can give someone a lack of confidence in the economy and cause them to tighten their belts a little bit. So we care about what's going on with those short-term rates because they will have an impact on what our prospective tenants are thinking, which has an impact on what we're able to do in terms of occupancy and rent movements and value-add investments and so on. So all of these rates are important for different reasons, as we've just described. So now that we know what those three rates are, and we've talked a little about why we care, let's talk about where they are today, because they're in an interesting position today, and what the forecast for the future is. So sitting here today, I mentioned that the federal funds rate is 5.25 to 5.5. And the SOFR, and this is, by the way, this is the 1 month SOFR, the 30-day SOFR, whatever term you want to use for it, because there are other durations. The 1 month SOFR is 5.33, so right in the middle of that. The 10-year treasury is 4.32. It's below that. So we have a situation where short-term interest rates are higher than long-term interest rates. And that's a somewhat unique situation to be in. Now, if we want to look at the 10-year treasury, and let's look at some history on it. So it's in this current environment, as we said, of being at 4.3. Well, if we take a look back and look back at October of last year, it was 4.58. So we're down 28 basis points from that high, which was the high. If we go a little further back, though, we can see that in April of 23, so just about a year ago, it was 3.57. So we're up a pretty good chunk, 70 some odd basis points there over where we were last year. So the 10-year treasury has moved up. So what would that mean? That would mean the cost of new loans or a refinance on a property would be higher today than it would have been a year ago. Now, if you go back just a little bit before that, and you go back to the latter part of 22, the 10-year treasury is 4.25, basically where it is today. So over the course of the last year and a half, it's gone down some and it's gone up some, but it's trading in this range. Now, if we go further back, we get into the period where we had these exceptionally low interest rates. And that's something that we really shouldn't anticipate happening again in the future. So you had some really specific events that caused all of that to occur. COVID was one of them, but we're really talking about the recession back in 07 and 08 from the housing crisis. And for a period of time here, we had interest rates that were essentially bordering on being free. Okay, so that's a little bit of the history of where the 10-year treasury has been. Let's talk about the forecast. Now, there's a lot of forecasts you can find out there, and I would encourage you to explore them. We have a firm that we have done work with before that we find their tools to be reasonably accurate. They're very helpful. And when we look at their data, what we see for the 10-year treasury, and this is over a long period of time, so we're not just talking in the next few years, but really if we look out the next maybe 5 years or so, the 10-year treasury being fairly stable, potentially rising, but rising on the order of 20 basis points, 30 basis points. And we certainly wouldn't look at that kind of movement as anything that's going to be significantly detrimental to investing in multifamily. Again, keeping in mind that that's a fairly reasonable or low rate when looked at historically, right? When you throw out the kind of free money period, being in the mid fours for an interest rate is not an unreasonable place to be from that particular standpoint. What does that mean for multifamily? Well, if that means that we're in a period where our interest rates, the cost of money that we pay, are going to be fairly stable. Maybe they'll rise slightly, but fairly stable. So, in other words, we're not looking at having interest rates at 7% and 8% and 9%, but we're looking at having interest rates that are in the maybe in the high fives or in the sixes somewhere. If that's what we think is going to happen, then that's actually a very positive place for us to be as investors. Positive for two reasons. One, that means we won't be seeing a rising cost of money as we purchase new assets a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, that we can expect the values to the cost of money to be in the same range. It also means with that stabilizing interest rate that we will likely see cap rates move to a certain point and then stabilize as well. And the reason for that is everyone basically has the same model for underwriting, right? We all sit down and forecast out. We get a loan. We're going to have this kind of net operating income. We'll have this amount of cash to cover the loan. If interest rates go up, my cost of that loan goes up, which means I either need more NOI in order to cover it, or I need to pay less for the property so that I have a smaller loan that fits within the NOI that I'm going to be able to generate. So we probably see some moderating of cap rates this year. And then I would expect we're going to see fairly stable cap rates for an extended period of time. I don't think, and we're certainly not anticipating, that we're going to see cap rates dive back down to where they were, meaning low fives or fours for Class B assets in secondary markets, fours, even threes in some markets for B, B plus, some A grade assets. That doesn't appear to be on the horizon based on this interest rate forecast. So that's a fairly stable environment for us in terms of purchasing assets. So that's a good thing, we would think. Well, let's talk about the other forecast. What about those short-term rates? And as I said, right now, the short-term interest is higher than the long-term interest, than the 10-year treasury. But that's not going to last. And the reason for that is multifold. One, the Fed's been very clear and vocal that they are going to reduce rates this year. They've said a certain number of reductions. I think that's less important than the basic trajectory. At least that's our view of it. So we're going to be seeing lower short-term rates. And that's reflected in the SOFR forecasts of SOFR moving down. So as I said, SOFR today is at 533. One of the forecasts that we have access to says it gets down to about 4.6 or so around the end of the year. So that's a 70 some odd basis point reduction. And remember, why do we care about the short-term rates? It's not because that changes the interest rate that we're going to pay for a property. That means that our tenants are going to experience lower borrowing costs. Now, there's another reason that we want to keep an eye on Fed rates, and that is the Federal Reserve uses its monetary policy, of which interest rates are one of the tools in their toolkit, to try and manage the economy in a narrow band of performance. The ideal performance, as defined by the Fed, is one where we have positive growth in the economy and inflation held in check at around 2%. Historically, that's been what they've said for the last maybe 20 years or so. Lately, they've talked about maybe 2 to 3%, but somewhere in that sort of range. Well, how does the Fed support the economy moving in that direction? Well, when we have high inflation, when we have rapid growth, as we've experienced in the post-COVID environment, in part driven by very significant amounts of government spending intended to stimulate the economy, which it did, interest rates went up. And interest rates went up to try and moderate that growth. I have sometimes described it as the Fed trying to choke the economy back into submission to get those inflation numbers down. And they have moved down. And as they've moved down, the Fed is looking to moderate some of that interest rate policy. The flip side of that is, even with inflation under control, again, there's a desire for growth. If the growth is not meaningful or sufficient, or we're actually forecasting flat growth or even a recession, the Fed wants to stimulate the economy. How do they stimulate the economy? They do that by freeing up the flow of cash, which is done by lowering the interest rates. And so the Fed lowering rates this year, which they have stated is their plan, is not only intended to back off the high rates that they had, but it's to address a potential softening in the economy that the Fed is forecasting. And that's something we've talked about for a few months now, is that there's an expectation that as we get into the latter part of the year with uncertainty on many fronts, and that always happens every in our 4 year cycle, right? When we go through a national election, but all the other factors, including interest rates, that there's some uncertainty which will potentially cause some disruptions in the economy. Is it a full-blown recession? Is it just a slowing? Is it the soft landing, right? That's the term that the Fed often uses for we want to bring inflation under control and still have growth and pull it all off without triggering a recession. I've been around long enough to know that that's really difficult. And I don't know that they can ever really argue that they've pulled it off without triggering at least some kind of short-term recessionary activity. So we'll see what that looks like. Going forward, as we get into 2025, we've got that stable 10-year interest rate environment, but now we've got those short-term rates dropping, and they're dropping below 4%. SOFR moving further and further out, getting down to maybe 3.5%, and diverging a bit from some forecasts around the Fed, in which the Fed rate might get down to 3% or even sub 3%. And again, that can be a combination of how the Fed is trying to moderate inflation and keep it under control, but supporting growth in the economy. If we start to grow a little too rapidly and we fuel inflation, those rates stabilize or move up a little bit. If we've got reasonable growth and inflation's under control, the rates might continue to drop. And as long as inflation remains under control, we could see a lower interest rate environment over the next few years in terms of short-term rates. That's good news for our tenants, right? While there may be some recessionary activity this year, that would mean that over time, the costs of goods and services would not be growing as rapidly with inflation under control, and the cost of money would be down as well. That means our tenants will be in a better economic position, and that's good for us. If our customers have more money in their pocket, then we can offer more services to them, more benefits to them that they will view as valuable, and that will help us with rent growth, revenue growth, other income growth, and so on. So we care about all of those. And while the forecasts we've shared, we think make a lot of sense, they're forecasts. And so everyone should take all of that with a big grain of salt. I have had folks ask us on occasion, do you worry about higher interest rates? In particular, they're talking about the 10-year treasury. And it's flippant to say, no, we don't, we're not concerned. Obviously, that has something to do with how much it costs for us to borrow money when we buy a new property. And at the same time, we aren't as concerned. And the reason we're not as concerned is each acquisition we make, and I would encourage you to do the same if you're building your own portfolio. And if you're making an investment, a passive investment, when you're analyzing that investment, one of the things to be looking at is not only the cost of money, what are they paying for, what are they borrowing, the cost of their borrowings, but what are they paying for this property? And does the, do those things seem to fit? Are they congruent with each other? If we were in an environment where interest rates were a meaningful amount higher than they were today, that doesn't mean there won't be any multifamily activity. Keep in mind that the most active period of time in multifamily real estate investing was in the 1980s, and that's when we had double-digit interest rates. When interest rates are high, it simply means the equation around what you can pay for a property is different than when interest rates are lower. Each property should still be underwritten, and it needs to stand on its own two feet based on what the interest rates are at that particular point in time. And so we think stable interest rates over the next few years for 10-year treasuries are great. If they were to be higher, we don't think that imposes on our ability to continue to acquire properties and for you all to do likewise. And obviously, if they come down, that's not only an opportunity for us to take advantage of that, it also means that there might be some moderation in cap rates, which could improve the values of assets that we own. Again, we're not anticipating those 10-year rates to drop in any meaningful way in the next, again, maybe 5 years or so, something that looks like that. Well, this can be a complex topic. If I've lost anybody along the way, or you've got a question that maybe an answer I offered in the session today didn't quite resonate or left you with a thought, shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com. MARAPOLING.com. And as I said, if you have any interest at all in learning about investing using your retirement accounts, please go to the Learning Center at MARAPOLING.com, register for the session. And if you can join us Thursday, fantastic. If you're not able to join us on Thursday, register anyway. That'll guarantee you a copy of the materials and prior access to the recording of the session before it's available publicly on the Multifamily Real Estate Channel. All right, folks, thanks for joining me this week. I look forward to talking to you again next week on another episode of Multifamily Real Estate Investing presented by Mara Poling.